It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
It's Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Hour number two. It's a reentry Monday. We go over everything from the weekend, which means continuing fallout from the Patriots drama. Red Sox had a bad weekend, and we will get to the NBA Finals, LeBron James now becoming a free agent, how that relates to the Celtics, all of that later on this hour, but as promised, right back to the phones here. Sam in the car, what do you got for us, Sam?
How are you doing? My thought on the Grant trade, the one big flaw in that I see is that if Bill really arranged a deal with another team and then they got yanked off the table by Brady and Kraft, how come that team didn't get that leaked out? Why is it taking this long for the news to get out?
It's a fair question. Yeah, so let me give you one possible scenario, and that is the teams that Bill's dealing with. And again, remember, Bill's trade discussions are really a closed circle. He does not go around the whole league. He does not share his plans. He usually handpicks a team or two that he feels he can deal with and deals with them. So is that possible with the Gronkowski stuff? Again, this is a pre-draft consideration, it feels like. Well, one of the rumors was Tennessee. That's Vrabel. And isn't it John Robinson? And isn't there a guy in the front office who's a former Belichick guy in that front office in Tennessee?
Sounds right.
So what if he's dealing with Tennessee and Vrabel and Robinson know that if they say anything about this, we're dead to Bill and we'll never get a deal done with the Patriots again if we want. So they know they're still, you know, living under Belichick's hand, if you will, right? And they're not going to spill it. The other one was San Francisco. They kept that thing pretty secret the first time around, didn't they? I mean, John Lynch has said subsequently that, you know, some things that have happened. But I don't know. It seems like he's got a really good working relationship with San Francisco. So simply enough, caller, maybe Bill just told these teams, stuff it.
Right.
And I don't want to hear it. We don't, you know. I mean,
how does that serve them in any way?
They don't need to be told that when they're dealing with Bill, that they're not allowed to open their yaps.
No, and then after the fact in San Francisco, because Lynch did talk, it's not out of the realm of possibility. There was a conversation after, say, listen, next time, just you know, can we stop the rhetoric afterward? Like, let's not get into details as to why or why not something did or did not happen.
So look, was there a Gronkowski trade last Friday? Doesn't feel like that's the case. Could there have been some movement and some possibility prior to the draft? You want to play Tommy Curran from Friday night there, Jimmy Stewart? Friday night on NBC Sports Boston, Tommy Curran reports, basically, prior to the draft, there was something there with Gronkowski.
In Adam's tweet, you can't say none of it was true, because here's where we are today. I cannot say that all of the anecdote happened. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that during this offseason, the Patriots have talked to teams about dealing Rob Gronkowski. I have league sources who've told me that. I've also been told locally that there are conversations between the Patriots and multiple teams throughout the offseason, and they push back at the notion of Rob Gronkowski being, quote, shopped. However, he was absolutely spoken about in trade conversations. Also, from what I gather from further league sources, is that the post-motocross come-to-Jesus meeting with Bill Belichick, after which we heard Gronk will not be traded in 2018, is also accurate.
Okay, so not shopped, but then again, who is with Belichick? He doesn't shop anybody. He doesn't want the league knowing his business. He handpicks a team or two, like we just said. He didn't shop Chandler Jones. He didn't shop Jamie Collins. He sure as hell didn't shop Jimmy Garoppolo. So Gronkowski not shopped. Fine. spoken about. And Gern says that's pre-motocross. The motocross press conference was April 21st. The draft, I think, was April 26th.
The draft was the 26th.
So it just sort of, this all sort of predates the draft. All that reporting on Friday, elements of truth to it, they just are a month and a half late.
I mean, to me, that's almost always how this happens. And again, you know from experience, you find out about something weeks later sometimes. Sometimes it's even months or years after the fact before you stumble on some good info about what exactly went down. So to me, that is entirely 100% plausible, that it was a series of events that happened over a period of time, and that when it came out, it was interpreted that it all happened in one day. And it didn't. It happened much slower over a period of time.
We continue with your calls. Greg in Worcester on the Red Sox. Go, Greg.
Yes, how you doing? I was wondering, you were talking about the Red Sox and Bradley. How can you not take him out, pinch hit for him in the bottom of the seventh, two outs? How do you not take him out?
So wait a minute, Greg. And so I missed yesterday's game. Are you telling me that Cora pinch hit for Devers, but he did not pinch hit for Bradley?
That's what I'm saying.
Did that happen, Mel?
Why would you do that?
So I don't think it was in the seventh, though.
Yeah, it was. It was in the bottom of the seventh.
Okay, so were they both facing left-handers? Was it, you know, was it an apples-to-apples comparison?
No, it's not an apples-to-apples. And look, I'm going over it again. But the seventh inning, Bradley never hit in. So it wasn't the seventh. I think it was the, I thought it was the eighth. Bradley led off the eighth and grounded out. So it wasn't in the seventh inning. But look, the part of the problem they have right now is they have too many guys at the end of the lineup that are easy outs. And they're only carrying a three-man bench.
What's Bradley hitting again? Tell me he's above 190.
Oh, he's above 190, but I think he's under 200 again. I think he's like 196. Okay. Something like that.
Keep going. The bottom of their lineup.
Yeah, so look, the bottom of the lineup is thin. They're carrying a short roster to begin with. They're carrying 13 pitchers at the moment. And one of your bench players is a catcher. Right? So you're going to hit Christian Vasquez and what? His 180 average?
Bradley's a hot 193 right
Whoa!
Now.
Yeah, I thought it was like 196.
We're going with 13 pitches.
I thought he was creeping to below 190. He is 193. Oh my Lord.
So he's not hitting. Swihart's not hitting. You know, when I say I'm giving you the year numbers now, you know, independent of little bursts of hotness here and there. Vasquez got a little bit better, but he hasn't hit all year long. Leon is up to 240, I think it is. And you put 240 on the table, all of a sudden it looks like 350.
William and Winthrop on the Pats. Hi, William.
Hey, how's it going? I think it's damage control time. Belichick has to go, and I'll tell you why, and I hate it. If he's diming players out for steroids and anything else, he wants to get fired. And let me tell you something, guys. Tom Coughlin will scoop him up in half a second and get rid of that Doug Marrone, that moron.
Huh.
And it's gonna happen, and that's the owner's biggest fear, I believe, guys.
Okay, right? So you want to go way down this rabbit hole, which I'm not totally willing to go. But it is better for Bill to get fired versus quitting. If he quits, he doesn't get his salary. If he quits, his contract tolls, meaning he's still the rights of the Patriots and he can't go elsewhere. If he's fired, he gets his salary and he gets to take another job. Okay, the Crafts are never going to fire Belichick. That is not going to happen. They're still scarred and still don't like the way it went down with Parcells. They don't like being labeled with letting Parcells go. That still has left a mark on them. Along the same lines, a Kraft would never let Brady play for another team. He's not going to let Belichick go to another team.
No, I have a hard time believing they would fire him, too. The other thing is they're not going to give him what he wants. Let's just say if he really wanted that. If he really wanted to be fired, they know that he wins in that scenario. So, no, you're going to have to stick it. It's not going to happen.
For the record, I don't believe it's gone that far. I believe that there's an internal power struggle and a peeing match and little things done back and forth to undermine each other. And some of these things have come at the expense of the team, which should be bothersome to all of us for all involved. Brady missing these OTAs, that's undermining the team to serve his personal agenda. Gronkowski missing this stuff for his own agenda is undermining the team. Belichick trading Garoppolo the way that he did, benching Malcolm Butler. Who knows? Maybe he did dime out Edelman. All these little things to make Guerrero look bad, serving his own personal agenda at the expense of the team. They're all guilty of it. And that to me is the story.
They don't trust each other. To me, that's what it is. They don't trust each other right now.
Tony and Stoneham on the Sox. Go.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You know, you hit the nail on the head when you said there's nothing at the end of the lineup. And, you know, you say we got nothing to trade. Again, I go back to what I said the other day, and Matt said we don't need him. Go get Machado. You give up Bradley. You give up Bogaerts. And I don't know, what's the situation with Ramirez now? Who controls him now?
You're saying, he's free.
Saying Hanley?
Yeah.
No one's touched him, even though he's basically free. Someone's got to write this story. I need some reporting now on this story. Why is no one picking up Hanley Ramirez? All you have to pay him is a minimum salary.
It's a good question.
Why is no one picking him up?
It's a good question.
What happened here, and why is no one touching him with a 10-foot pole? And does that not shed some light on maybe the Red Sox thinking? Maybe there's something going on there with Hanley that the rest of the league knows about and says, nuh-uh, we're not touching that. Because I don't, you know, as bad as you are, if you can hit and you're functional, you're going to get a job. Manny Ramirez got a job like that. And why? How come I can't remember? Was he released and picked up by the Dodgers, or did you trade him to the Dodgers?
No, he was. Manny was traded to the Dodgers.
So all I'm saying
is, there was a three-team deal.
So you would have had a. I mean, you could have found a home. I mean, if why is Hanley still in the street? That's the question. Manny Machado, are you going to give up right now Xander Bogaerts for 1 year of team control of Manny Machado?
No, and
half
honestly,
a year?
I'm not even sure the Orioles would do it. If you want to know the truth, like Bogaerts is a free agent at the end of next season. So how does that serve their longer-term need? The Orioles suck. They're horrendous. They have to do what a lot of teams are doing, which is completely rip it apart and start young. So what do they want with a shortstop that they'll get for 1 year whom they're going to lose? Unless they think they can flip Bogaerts for more than Machado a year from now, which I don't think they can. They're going to get a haul for Machado in July when they move him, and they will move him, I think. I don't know that, but I think.
Marion Marshfield on the Patriots drama. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, give me a break. They're turning my Patriots team into a big soap opera, the dynasty. Joan Collins can play Bill Belichick, and Linda Evans can play Brady.
Linda.
I don't know who's going to play Kraft, but it's selfishness on all their parts. And I think, like, the straw that broke Brady's back was the Super Bowl. If he had his sixth ring and he could, you know, make that Facebook video the way he wanted it to be originally, it would have been okay. Championships heal. But after that, he's done. I mean, he's not done with us, but he's done with Bill.
I'm telling you, Mary, I'm stunned. I'm stunned we're still here. I'm stunned we're still in the middle of an episode of Dallas, to use your analogy. Stunned. I thought for sure they'd all tighten it up. Nice little bow. You know, come to Jesus. Kraft rides in on the white horse. Extends everybody. Settles everything. Kumbaya. Smiling. Happy front. I was convinced. I was sure that was what was going to happen. I can't believe we're now all the way through OTAs and Brady didn't show up for any of them. And all this stuff is still going on. I did not think it would happen to them. Stupid me. Naive me. I thought it would not. I thought they would be impervious to this.
I mean, the amazing thing is, I don't know that that's going to change. Like, what's going to change? Is Bill going to cave on Guerrero? No. I don't think. Is Kraft all of a sudden like, I mean, I suppose Kraft could give Brady a contract. Like, I don't rule that one out. But that doesn't solve the Guerrero problem. The wedge is still there between Bill and Tom on that. Where's that going?
I'm just stunned we're still at this place.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. The
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
LeBron, we're just learning about your hand injury, and we can obviously see the brace. Can you take us through what happened and if it caused you any problems over the final three games?
What happened? Self-inflicted, post-game after game one, very emotional, you know, for a lot of different reasons. Understanding how important a game one is on the road for our ball club, what would that have done for us? The way we played, the calls that was made throughout the course of that game, and I had emotions on, you know, the game was taken away from us. I had emotions of you just don't get an opportunity like this on the road versus Golden State to be able to get a game one. And, I let the emotions get the best of me and pretty much played the last three games with a broken hand. So that's what it is.
Well, I start to get to LeBron. That was him on the post-game podium Friday night after the Cavs were swept wearing a cast on his hand, Maz. How'd you feel about that little display of NBA drama 101?
So that this is the excuse going out the door, is that what this is?
It's just so typical.
Oh, totally. Like, you know, again, so you get your ass swept, blown off the floor, and it's got to be, you got to take it back to game one. I was a little emotional, as if to say, if J.R. Smith knew what the score was, maybe we'd have been in this thing. So go blame him, because I have a broken hand because of him.
He just makes it so damn hard. Like, for those of us that actually do generally like watching him play, and I'm not just a straight-up LeBron hater, it's this stuff that I understand why people hate him. Like, this is so fake. Like, you're fine, dude. There's literally video of him at the end of Game 4, like, dapping up kids, high-fiving them with the supposed broken hand. There's video of him doing push-ups before Game 2. You wouldn't be able to do that if you basically had a broken hand.
It's awesome.
It's insane. Like, dude, like, what are you doing? So you make yourself typical. Look so foolish when you do this kind of stuff.
I mean, he's insufferable on this kind of stuff. He is. He's insufferable. There's always some excuse. There's always some alibi. Now, look, had he punched J.R. Smith in the face, I'd have excused him for it. And I don't, you know, either that or thrown a bowl of soup at him, one or the other. Like, fine, I'm with you on that one, LeBron. The guy's a nitwit. Totally. But the you know, letting everybody know it on top of it, right? Like the fatigue thing, it's always a display. Everybody's going to be aware of it because we know LeBron's life is an open book. He's been scrutinized as much as any athlete, maybe more so than any athlete in history. So he's got to let you know what he was dealing with, right? He's always the martyr. He's always the hero. Always, 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 always. Look, dude, they're better than you. No one was going to hold that against you. They had too many weapons. You had a bunch of bums on your team. You didn't need the excuse.
Okay. Insufferable drama queen, you know, as usual, LeBron James, NBA drama 101. Still take him on the Celtics?
Yes, tonight.
Yes.
Not over Kyrie.
Kyrie, Maz, you're sticking with that.
Yeah, I told you. I the age is a big issue for me. I'm not giving in on that one.
Okay, on Kyrie.
If you can't sign Kyrie, that's a different story.
All right, so they are intertwined, Maz. We get to that. And Kyrie now, this is sort of a building narrative, how he's not committing to you beyond next year, or at least that's the public stance. And it's sort of odd. It started with Mike Gorman out of nowhere last week. Kyrie returning after next year, not a given either way. And then Chris Mannix says the Celtics are even scared of losing Kyrie Irving. And then Kyrie Irving, he's on a press junket doing a series of media interviews in relation to the debut of his movie, also fails to commit to the Celtics long term. He's asked by the New York Times over the weekend, do you look at the Celtics as a long term destination for you? Answer, well, I mean, I know that question is going to come up a lot over the next year. Just based upon where my deal is, Irving responded. And you know, that time will arise when it does. I think I'll have a better, clear, concise answer for a lot of people that are going to ask. Yeah, I just have to take it as being present with the Boston Celtics. You know, and just going into this year with the mindset of trying to win a championship. End quote. What? Do you look at the Celtics as a long-term destination for you? Yes, I love it there. I want to be a Celtic. How hard is that to answer?
It's not.
Instead, he says, well, I mean, I know that question's going to come up just based on where my deal is. And, you know, that time will arise when it does. I think I'll have a better, clear, concise answer for a lot of people. Yeah, I just have to take it as being present with the Boston Celtics. So what is this? What's this about?
Scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, it's not reassuring.
Scares the crap out of me. And look, it's probably an honest answer. Because, again, in that league, the way it works, you wait till the end of your deal, then you opt out, and then you have the most money-making potential. So it's not unusual, but you know what? To me, as a Bostonian, lie to me. Please lie. Lie, lie, lie. Tell me as many lies as you have to. I like it here. I want to be here. We'll address that at the end of next season. Just lie. Lie your face off. Make me feel better. This makes me say, uh-oh. I hope they have their I's dotted and their T's crossed.
Is it related to LeBron?
On some level, it has to be.
And is this all, you know, posturing? So LeBron postures about you. I'm going to interview with the Celtics. And who knows what I mean, I think he should want to be here because it's his best chance to win a championship, multiples. But maybe it's just to tweak Kyrie. Maybe it's to build some sort of leverage against other suitors in free agency, although I'm not sure what that would be. But either way, LeBron postures to get you on the list to increase his bargaining power. And so Kyrie looks at it and says, oh, well, if you're going to flirt with LeBron, I'm not going to commit to you. So you want to posture? You want to play that game? Fine. I got a year left. I'm in the present. We'll see what happens.
I mean, I think it's naive to not include it as an element. Because, again, there are a lot of elements, right? Again, the money-making potential alone, the idea that you let the contract run out, that's an element. It's a big one.
Yeah,
but LeBron's an element.
But yes, right. So I'm guessing it's related to LeBron, unless he's serious about leaving. The thing is, and this is what I keep saying, the money's the money. You can't leverage your way into more money. You can't. It's the max. He can't get the super max because he wasn't drafted by the Celtics. So then it's just the max. And those numbers are set. The levels are set. And they're set whether he re-signs this year, next year, whether he opts out and signs back in, whether he becomes a free agent first. Like, all those things are known. And the number ain't going down and it ain't going up. So he has there's no bargaining point financially for him to play the game of, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's nothing to gain there.
Okay, what about, though, being able to leverage organizations into making moves that you want made?
So bringing this guy to help me out.
He learned from the master.
Right, exactly. So, I want to bring in my trainer. I want this many courtside seats, like that sort of crap. Is that what they leverage? Because it's not salary.
No, so, I mean, to me, that's what I would if I were them. I would say, okay, but I need this, this, and this. You know, I need these elements. I need these kinds of players around me. And so what is now starting to scare me about Kyrie again is what I just said to you. He learned from the master in terms of leveraging his talent. So that goes one of two ways. Either you say, I am never going to be that, like Belichick did with Parcells, or you look at it and say, well, he did it, why can't I do it? I mean, more often than not, that's what happens with people that see something that...
So this was my point to you last week, that you're worried about the a-hole factor with LeBron. I'm telling you, you've got to worry about the a-hole factor with all of these guys.
Okay, but again, LeBron set the standard.
I know that.
I know LeBron is an egomaniacal a-hole.
Yes, well...
I don't know if this guy is yet.
What do you think?
Okay, but on the
look
same...
at the way he got himself out of Cleveland. Of course you know what kind of guy he is.
He skipped game 7 for a nose job for the movie tour.
Okay, on the... But again, I'm not saying he's not one. I'm telling you he's not on the same level as the king when it comes to that.
Telling you,
he believes the world is flat, Maz, and he's stuck in cement about this whole thing.
That's not true.
He's just screwing around with that, but that's a whole nother thing. Like, that's a whole, whatever that is, that's something. It ain't normal. So none of these guys are normal. Okay?
Yeah, but
you
again,
have to deal
I'm not,
with all of it.
I'm not looking for normal. No, I feel like you guys keep putting that in my mouth. I'm
not putting anything in your mouth.
I am not looking for normal. I am just looking for something that's closer to normal than LeBron.
And I'm telling you, if we're going to scale on a scale of 1 to 10, LeBron's a 9.8. Kyrie's a 9.
No, LeBron is a 12 on a 1 to 10. Everybody else is about a 7. Like, he is twice the pain in the ass that everyone else is, or close to it.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boston's going to have, he's going to have a conversation with Boston. They're going to go after him. Make no mistake about it. So you've got Cleveland, Philly, Boston, 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 Boston. They're going to go after him. Make no mistake about it.
Not photoshopped at all.
Nope, that is Stephen A. Smith.
Just as he said it. Good job, Murray.
Boston, that's the one team. That's who's going to get him.
Just as he said it, word for word.
Yeah, we'll lose our identity.
Okay, to your phones. This the LeBron stuff mixed in with everything else. Manny in Providence. Go ahead, Manny.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm going to tell you why LeBron's not coming to Boston. So last year around, you want to say, end of the season when Paul George became a free agent, LeBron wanted Paul George to Cleveland, but the only way to make this happen, somebody had to leave. So they decided that they were going to trade Kyrie to Phoenix and get Bledsoe back and some picks. Right around the time when Kyrie had found out, he flipped out, he lost it, and the trade blew up. And that's when he immediately asked for a trade. So you think about it, a trade of that magnitude would not happen if LeBron didn't know. So LeBron knew, and Kyrie was pissed at LeBron. That's why he hasn't spoken to LeBron, because you knew that LeBron knew that he was going to get traded. Now, LeBron wanted their core to be him, Kevin Love, Paul George, and Bledsoe. And that was the team that LeBron wanted to take up against Golden State. That's why LeBron's not coming to Boston. I'll hang up.
Okay, Manny, thanks for the call. Why are you laughing?
Because just the way he said it, yeah, because he wanted Bledsoe and he wanted George and they would trade Kyrie. That's what he wanted. And then he was going to get George and then George was going to get Love and they were going to do that together. My head was spinning.
The point
crying out loud.
The point is LeBron and Kyrie can't play with each other.
It certainly feels that way.
Yes, that is right.
And if I'm the Celtics, again, all I know is after all this stuff came out, if I'm the Celtics, I am on the horn with Kyrie Irving saying, listen, dude, we're not going near LeBron. We're not touching him with a 10-foot pole. We want you.
And this is why I wonder, is this why Kyrie's pulling this, I don't know about beyond this year stuff? Like, he heard about the LeBron rumor, because who hasn't? But he probably heard about it before the public did, and said, you're doing what? You're talking to who? Oh, well, in that case, I don't know if I want to be a Celtic. And it's just sort of one of those, just a little posturing match, a measuring contest.
Yeah, scary. I mean, it is. It's scary because you know, look, on the outside, we don't know. I would hope Ainge has this thing buttoned down, like one way or the other. Either there's a wink, wink, nod, nod, we're going to do the deal when the time comes up so we can give you the most money possible, and everybody's good with that. Or they're uncertain. And if they are uncertain, that's not a comforting feeling.
Brandon in Linfield on the Red Sox. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. What do you got, Brandon?
JBJ is not hitting well this year, as always. Great glove, though. Blake Swihart's getting looks. I don't even know why. He's hitting 150. He's complete garbage. And Mookie Betts is on the DL. Why not just bring up Ruzne Castillo, see what's going on, especially only a game back to the Yanks right now. We really need some wins.
Okay, Ruzne Castillo. You shook your head immediately.
Well, because the ramification, and look, this gets into some of the technicalities of it. A lot of people don't know this, so it's worth telling them now. Castillo, they took off the 40-man roster last year. Last year, he didn't come up last year either. And no point did he come up and play. And the reason they did that, and they did this with Alan Craig at the time, to whom they had gotten from St. Louis, is because by taking him off the 40, they no longer count on the luxury tax threshold. So, if you were to bring Castillo up, you got to put him back on the 40.
What's he hitting in Pawtucket?
I think it's like 310, 315, the last I saw.
So, you're worried about the luxury tax now?
No, I'm just telling you why they're not doing it.
Okay, should they do it?
My answer would be based on what we saw when he was here the first time, and I know that
when was that?
3 years ago.
3 years ago!
Yeah, I don't think he can play in the big leagues. I think he is a 4A player. That's what I think he is. I mean, remember, and I'm already drawing a blank, Jalen Beeks, he was doing well in Pawtucket, too. They brought him up, and he looked like he belonged in the Park League, for crying out loud. So, like, I look at that, and I say, Castillo, to me, not worth it. You screwed that one up. Bite the bullet, leave him in AAA.
Steve in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Steve.
Hey, first time, long time.
Welcome.
So, I have a conspiracy theory about Garoppolo and why he got traded.
Love it.
So Belichick got vetoed. He was like, fine, I'm going to trade him to a good franchise, not the Browns. So he traded him to a good GM, a good head coach. Head coach is going to have a good system for him. And he only took back a second because he needs Garoppolo to look good to cement his legacy.
Okay, so I don't think he cared what he got back. I don't think Bill really cared what he got back. I don't. If he cared what he got back, he would have shopped him. And he would have gotten, he could have easily gotten a first for him. Okay? So he didn't. He did want to take care of him. That I do believe. That he, Garoppolo is one of his guys who he liked, and he wasn't going to banish him to Cleveland because of it. And so he was going to go to a spot that the kid wanted to go to, and he would take what he would get. And that's what happened. That is most definitely not putting the interests of the team first.
I mean, he said it. The day he traded him, Jimmy's got a good coach. Since when is that a prerequisite? Did he give a rat's ass who Richard Seymour's coach was when he traded his ass to Oakland?
No.
No, or Logan Mankins? He didn't
give... Jamie Collins to the Browns, you know? None of that mattered.
Oh, God, he did not give...
He thought he was the next guy.
He didn't give a flying fish.
I'm just glad Chandler's going to a place where there's good coaching.
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing that.
No, me neither. No. I mean, he just... Never mind. I was going to say something completely inappropriate.
Chris in the car. Go, Chris, on the Red Sox.
Hey, gentlemen. Just watching the bottom of the lineup, it's like Rick Moranis watching his ship turn into a vacuum cleaner going from suck to blow right now. So, I mean, honestly, guys, like, Maz, there's not one person they can get off the waiver wire who can bat better than 198, can make some plays in the outfield, maybe score some runs. Because Jackie Bradley Jr. is the best we've ever going to see from him. As we've already seen it, he's completely streaky. And one other thing, strictly on Drew Pomeranz, when he comes back, make him an end of the rotation, end of the, like a reliever. Seventh, eighth inning, throws hard, throws his throws his out pitch, which would be his curveball.
He throws hard.
Well in the playoffs. Yeah, he throws hard. He throws in the 90s. That's hard.
Okay.
He did very well in the playoffs when the Red Sox were going against the Indians. Can get lefties out. They don't need him as a starter right now.
Okay, so just let me stop you. The rotation. Are you worried about what's going on down there? At the end of the rotation?
No.
Me neither.
No, I'm not over. To me, but all of my rotation concerns get alleviated if David Price pitches well.
Right.
Because I know what Sale is for the most. Now, again, I can't predict October. But Sale can pitch. Okay, we all know that. Price, to me, is the key guy. Price's last five have been pretty good. I mean, what, they've won his last six, and the last five is ERAs under three. And what I like about the last two games with Price is that they've fallen behind in both those games, and he hung in there. You know, 3-1 to the Astros. They came back and won the game. This one, he gave up two in the first inning.
Okay, on Bradley in the bottom of the order. I don't want to hear if better. You know, sometimes it takes a while for a guy to figure it out. Ruzny Castillo. I don't want to hear about not giving Ruzny Castillo a crack just because the luxury. I'm surprised you're allowing that. You know, you're vehement about this stuff. Don't make moves for money. If Ruzny Castillo is hitting, and maybe he's a late bloomer, Mass. Maybe it just took him a while to get it. You know. And you wouldn't do it because of money? I mean, if he comes out here and sucks, can you immediately put him, you know, DFA him again, take him off the 40-man roster and clear that money right off?
No, I think once you do it, you're committed to the prorated share of it. So again, you know, be two-thirds of what he makes, which is 10-plus million, you'd be on the hook for 6.5 of it. And so that would chew up a good chunk of what they have left. Now, look, I'm telling you, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, they can spend $350 million. Put whatever you want into the team.
You have no faith in the player. When's the last time you saw him swing a bat? How do you know?
I just didn't love what I saw 2 years ago.
Two or three years ago, man.
I didn't. I mean, he was 27 at the time, or whatever he was. I mean, he was in, you know, and it might have been higher.
Yeah, right.
For crying out loud. So, great. He's ripped. He just never struck me as someone who had great baseball instincts. So I'm not taking my chance on that guy. That's all. Now, I might be wrong. I'm not telling you I'm 100% right. I might be totally wrong on it. But to him, for me, rather, that's not the gamble I'm taking. If I'm bringing in a bat, I'm doing better than him.
Red Sox stuff, the very latest with Kyrie, those rumors, and LeBron James, and the very latest with Julian Edelman and his failed PED test right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What extent do you think Alex Guerrero and the work you've done with him has helped extend your career and allowed you to be at your peak physically at age 31?
I think it's a huge part. You know, it's a lifestyle on how to take care of your body, what you put in your body, fleshing your body with his work before and after practice, keeping your muscles pliable, keeping them hydrated. You know, those things, all it is knowledge. And the more knowledge you get through the years, you know, the more powerful you can get. You know, that's kind of the old saying, more knowledge, more power. So it's definitely helped me a lot, and I look forward to continue doing it.
Julian Edelman last year talking about the merits of Alex Guerrero and the TB12 method. Knowledge is power. Except now he has no idea why he tested positive on a PED test, he claims. And, actually, according to some reporting over the weekend, there may be some basis for that, Maz. There may be some basis for it. I'll read the Pro Football Talk summation of it. According to Albert Breer of SI.com, Edelman's positive PED result was triggered by a substance that wasn't immediately recognizable, and the drug testers are still analyzing it. Again, that's according to Albert Breer of SI.com. Again, I'm reading from Pro Football Talk that says, that might sound strange, but it's not unprecedented for the drug testers to need time to determine what substance a player took. In 2003, four Raiders players tested positive for THG, a substance, it's a designer steroid, a substance that wasn't initially detectable in urine tests. It was only after the lengthy Belco investigation that drug testers retested urine samples and detected the substance. The four Raiders players, by the way, no shocker here, Bill Romanowski, who was like a poster boy for PEDs, I felt.
He always seemed so level-headed.
Yeah, no, just good guy all the way around. Typical BC. Dink. Linebacker Bill Romanowski, center Barrett Robbins, and defensive tackles Dana Stubblefield, another shocker, and Chris Cooper.
Barrett Robbins is the guy who went AWOL during the Super Bowl, wasn't he?
Correctamundo.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Ended up in Tijuana. That's tremendous.
The only surprise of that story is that Romanowski wasn't with him.
Albert Breer adds that Edelman's test took place a couple of months ago during the offseason. That means that whatever substance he tested positive for, it was not a stimulant like Adderall. Use of stimulants in the regular season is considered performance enhancing, but in the offseason, it's considered substance abuse, i.e. street drugs. So it's treated differently when you test positive for it. So it was not Adderall or a stimulant like that. It was steroidal. It had one of those markers. Okay? So what do you take out of that? What's your takeaway there, that the substance that triggered the positive wasn't immediately recognizable and they're still analyzing it?
So initially I told you, Mike, I didn't get it. I'm like, well, how could you detect something you weren't looking for? Like, I didn't get it. But I think, yeah, I don't want to steal your point, so go ahead and say what you said earlier.
Well, there's markers that they have that they can tell whether it's anabolic or not. And there was a caller, Beetle and Zoe, who said before, it's like finding a fingerprint, but you haven't matched it up yet to the specific individual. And that's not a perfect analogy, but it's something along those lines.
Right. You know what it is. You just don't know exactly who it's from.
Well,
in the case of a fingerprint.
I mean, this is how I read it. This is a case of, we always say that the cheaters are ahead of the testers. And they are. This is why the vast, vast, vast majority of people who take PEDs never get caught. Because they have trainers and doctors and chemists that have them one step ahead of the testers. They're taking compounds that are altered in a way that they don't show up on a banned list. That's why most of these guys slip through the cracks. Every now and then, the testers catch up to the cheaters. And something that they didn't previously have a name for or wasn't previously on their list now is. And this is potentially one of them. So there's two ways to read it. If you want to be optimistic and say, well, it wasn't immediately recognizable, maybe there's a chance that he wins his appeal and that it wasn't a steroid and they made a mistake, or it's not on the ban list, or, you know, they're still testing it, they're still investigating it, so there's a chance he gets off. That's possible. And that's the glass half full. The glass half empty is what happened with the Raiders. And that is, Edelman and others, whether it's on this team or other teams, have been taking this compound for years because it's not on the banned list or it hasn't been detected. And now, out of nowhere, the testers have caught up to it. And now, this thing that all these guys have been taking is now on the list. And they now know what it is and they now can flag it and catch it.
In which case, there will be more.
Which means, will there be more? Again, when this happened with the Raiders in 03, four guys went down in one fell swoop. Not just one. So is this a sign that there's more to come? And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be on this team. It would be other players using the same thing or on this team. You know, and again, the real DEFCON scenario is that it was coming from Guerrero and Guerrero's clients were on the same program and that there subsequently could be other shoes to drop here on the Patriots. That's the DEFCON scenario. But we don't know where the steroids come from. Maybe it came from Guerrero. Maybe it come from another shady trainer, another shady doctor. All I know is there's going to be a shady trainer or doctor behind Edelman. There always is. In these PED cases, there's always a shady doctor or trainer lurking in the background that feeds them the substances. So maybe it's Guerrero. Certainly a fair place to look given his track record. That's where I would go first. And I think we all did. And totally fair when you have his background. That's where you deserve to go. And that's where you should go. But who knows? Edelman works with other people. Maybe it's from some other sources. If it's from another source, from another gym, another trainer, another doctor, you better believe that Edelman ain't the only client. And so, is there going to be a group of these like there was with the Raiders in 2003 and THG?
Well, look, somebody's working the science, and he's not the only, Edelman's for sure not the only guy this person works with, I don't think. So, you know, to me, there's absolutely a potential ramification there. The other thing that I'm starting to wonder, and I asked you earlier again to go over the timeline of all this stuff with Gronk, Breer says 2 months ago.
Correct.
Beginning of April. Mid-April, maybe even.
Okay.
Okay, so the Gronk stuff started to heat up going into the... All I'm getting at is did Edelman's situation at all inspire them to say, okay, do we have Gronk or do we not have Gronk? Like, you know, you get the draft coming up. We're going to lose Edelman for the first four games on top of it. Now we got to find out, well, what's the story with Gronkowski? Now they know that they've got Gronkowski back. And is that part of the reason why it got leaked?
Okay, we'll get to the Gronk timeline coming up. And so it is that intertwined. Fair question. I still think the... So, you know, point one here is it's not immediately recognizable. What does this mean? Is this a... Is the door ajar for Edelman to get off? Or is the door ajar for other shoes to drop? Okay, so that's item number one for me. Item number two is where the leak came. Okay? Again, the test was taken a couple months ago. And the news gets leaked at the end of OTAs, right when there's, you know, we're in the middle of the back and forth with Brady and Guerrero, and is Guerrero going to be let back in? And Chris Gasper's firmly of the mind that this news came out with Edelman basically getting caught in the crossfire of Belichick versus Brady over Guerrero, because that day Gasper wrote a column in the Boston Globe saying Bill Belichick should be letting Guerrero back in and should be restoring Guerrero's previous privileges. And had some details in there about exactly where and when and how Brady was training and what they took away from him and what they should be giving back. And so that comes out. And then that day, 2 months after the test is taken, the news comes out. And so is that Belichick's side releasing that to counteract growing sentiment for Guerrero being let back into the fold? Or what? I don't know. All I know is it was supposed to be confidential. It's not supposed to be released until the player goes through the appeals process. And it was leaked. Who leaked it and why? Who stood to gain by it? Who stood to gain by it? So I don't know anyone other than Belichick. And I don't even know if he fully gains from it. He does gain by it in this, you know, this feud over Guerrero. He gets some points there. But there was a leak. Someone wanted it out. Why and who? And where does that story come in? That's another part that really interests me. That should not have been made public.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.